During the last few days, Judy and I were in the southeastern part of West Virginia, working with two small congregations. It's good to be back. Alan and I go different places and preach, especially to strengthen and encourage brethren in different congregations. That's another outreach that we have of the work here. So many of you go on campaigns in different areas throughout the world, and I think probably we do not realize the extent of the effect that we have on many different churches throughout the world. The first church I was with for 3 days had about 30, and the next one that I was with for 4 days had about 50 or 60. The unusual thing in both cases, they have three elders. A lot of the smaller congregations do not, but each of these had three elders, and many good things are happening. And I believe that we were able to help both churches. I want you to notice our board to my right. During the summertime, there's a tendency for our contribution to drop off a bit. You'll notice that we are still averaging just above our budget, but our contribution is a little bit below. I would like to make a suggestion for something for us to try for the next 4 weeks. Try next Sunday to give an extra quarter, and for 4 weeks add 25 cents to your contribution. And let's see if every one of us by doing that can't help our contribution to come up and stay about our budget. Some may be able to do more than that, but let's watch the figures. And with as many of us as there are here, with each one of us just doing a few cents or occasionally an extra dollar, will help us to keep our contribution above that mark. Tomorrow is a holiday called Memorial Day. I hope that we will stop and think about all of those who've given their lives to make it possible for us to meet in a setting such as this morning. And I hope also that we will take a few minutes to think about all of the great Christian men and women who've been a part of the work here at Henderson, who've blazed the trail down through the years to bring us to where we are today. It is fitting that we keep all of these in our memory. Today has been designated as a day to honor our teachers. Tonight, the worship service will be a bit shorter than usual. And after the service, Larry Oldham, our educational director, will take a few minutes to honor our teachers, to recognize them. And we will have refreshments after that. Encourage you to be back tonight if you possibly can. This morning, I want us to think for a few minutes about the passage that John read a few minutes ago in 1 Timothy 4. Hope you'll take your Bible and turn there. The teaching program of this church is extremely important. Brother Ira North, who preached at the Madison Church near Nashville for many years and was a part of what for many years was probably the largest church in the brotherhood, said many times that the success of any congregation is going to depend more on its Bible study program than anything else. I believe his point was a good one. I guess my biggest concern in the work of the church here at Henderson over the last 15 plus years has been the fact that our Bible study attendance on Sunday morning particularly has been extremely low compared to our worship attendance. Usually in the summertime, we run from 150 to 200 difference. Sometimes during the school year, it will be 300, which means that we have more people who do not attend Bible study than most congregations of the church throughout the world even have in attendance. And that's not good. My biggest concern is not so much for the numbers and the difference between the numbers as it is for those of you who do not take advantage of the opportunity to be in a Bible class. I believe you are doing yourself harm. It is my observation that we learn more in a Bible class than we do from a sermon. It is conducted in a way that there can be questions and answers and discussion. Maybe sometimes when one of us is preaching, you would like to have a point clarified, and yet it doesn't happen in a Bible class that can. Over a period of time, it is amazing how much each one of us can learn by being involved in Bible classes. I urge you to prayerfully consider being regularly involved in every Bible class that you can reasonably attend. God does not expect you to do more than you are able to do. But any Bible class that you can reasonably attend ought to be considered, and you ought to be involved. We have classes here that are prepared and planned for every age. We have choices for adults. Different types of classes are presented. Different subjects are being taught every Sunday and every Wednesday in our buildings. I urge you to become involved. But this morning, I want to think more from the standpoint of teachers. I would like to see us become more involved in teaching the gospel in personal evangelism. I know I need to do more, and I think many of us do need to and could. But I would also like to see more of us involved in teaching Bible classes. I know of no congregation where I have worked or where I have conducted gospel meetings, where there is a higher percentage of members who are teachers than in this congregation. And yet it is not uncommon for an announcement to be made week after week that we are looking for a teacher at some level and need someone to volunteer. I never have understood that. I do not understand it today. How that we can have so many of us that are prepared and qualified to stand in a classroom and teach on a regular basis who are not willing, and I would even say eager, to become more involved in teaching classes in our Bible school program. I'm not for sure, but that more good is done by some of our Bible teachers, Bible class teachers, than those of us that preach. When I get to heaven, I don't expect my record to match up with the record of Laura Laycook. Not a woman has ever lived that taught more children, probably, than Laura Laycook. There are many of you in the audience today who remember things from the Bible that she taught you years ago. I don't know that there will be anybody in heaven that's taught more women than Louise Cox. Over a period of years, again and again, she stood in classrooms and taught ladies what was involved in being a good wife and being a good family member and being a good Christian lady and involved in the work of the church. I think we cannot begin to understand the impact that ladies like that have had. When I think back to the time that I was here at Fried Hardeman, I think of two men particularly that I never had in class, Brother W.C. Hall and C.P. Rowland. I did have an opportunity to be associated with Brother Hall in the Preacher's Club and was corrected more than once, Bob, on how to say Corinthians. But men like that, Brother C.P. Rowland was a sort of a quiet person. But I think we probably do not appreciate the impact that that man had in teaching Bible classes. Brother Robert Witt taught a class again and again and again. You could go on and name so many that have done so much as Bible school teachers. I remember the lady that taught my class when I was in the little card class before I started to school. She was not many years older than I. A lady that most people would think never did very much in the work of the church. She She never made any headlines in any newspapers. She's still living today. But I remember scriptures that I learned and stories that I learned from the Bible sitting on the back seat in an auditorium where we had no classrooms, with the adults up in this corner and the teenagers in this corner and the little ones back there. I guess I got the benefit of three classes at the same time. But I remember scripture today that I can quote word for word without missing a syllable that I learned in that little class several years ago. Folks, we need teachers. We need good teachers. We need more teachers in the work of the church. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter and verse 12, he says, "When for the time ye ought to be teachers." You have need that someone teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Wonder why he said it like that. You ought to be teachers. There's a sense in which every one of us ought to be in taking the Great Commission. It may just be teaching in our families. It may be teaching a neighbor. There's a sense in which every one of us is. But there's a special sense in which we ought to be involved in our Bible classes when we have the opportunity and when we have the ability. I want you to look at this passage here in 1 Timothy 4 with me for a few minutes, and let's just notice a few things. Notice, first of all, that ability demands responsibility. Now, don't forget that statement. It's a simple one, but it's a profound one. Ability demands responsibility. In verse 11, he said, teach. In verse 14, he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Now, this was a special gift that was given by the laying on of the apostles' hands. But I believe that there are many of us who have been given gifts by our Heavenly Father with talents that we had at least the capacity for them when we were born, and talents that have been developed, and many of us who are able to teach in other ways and have a gift, sometimes even making the headlines, even being honored as Teacher of the Year or for outstanding work, need to realize that that gift and that ability carries with it responsibility. Verse 15 in this chapter says, give thyself wholly to them, in reference to these things that he's talking about. Give thyself wholly to them. How many of us have that kind of commitment in living the Christian life? How many of us have that kind of commitment when it comes to teaching, especially teaching in our Bible classes? I tell you something I'd like to see here. We're accomplishing it in a few instances, but we've not throughout our Bible school program. I would like to see us have enough teachers so that nobody has to teach two quarters in a row. Even in the lower grades, preschool. I believe we have enough people in this congregation who are talented, who are able to do the work, that we could have different teams to teach in at every level, to where when one quarter's over, the next quarter somebody else teaches, and our teachers have a little bit of time to rest and to study and to prepare for the next time. I'd like to see us set that as a goal. Have enough teachers involved in our program to where nobody has to teach two quarters in a row. And I think that there is the ability to do that, and ability demands responsibility. But in the second place, notice, as indicated in this passage, that ability involves preparation. You can take a person with a very high IQ who reads well, who does nothing, and he will not be prepared. There are people who are capable of memorizing the Bible from cover to cover who know practically nothing about it because they have not given the time and the effort to do that. Look at verse 13. Three things are mentioned. Give attention to three things, and two of them have to do with personal preparation. One is reading. How much time do you use in reading the Bible? Reading. I'm amazed that almost every time I read a chapter, I see something there or get a point from it that I'd never gotten before. And then he says, give attention to doctrine. Doctrine simply means the teaching of God, but it means that you prepare yourself to know what the Bible teaches about the plan of salvation, about worship, about the Christian home, about all the relationships that we have, not just learning stories that are told in the Bible, but learning the doctrine, the teaching of the Bible, to where you can teach a class the scriptures that are involved in showing what God teaches, not for argument's sake, but for teaching's sake. Preparation is needed. To speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4:11, to preach the word, 2 Timothy 4:2, and to know what the truth is that can make us free, John 8, verse 32. Ability demands responsibility, and ability involves preparation. And this responsibility that we're talking about here in this passage is said to be twofold. There is a responsibility to self, and there is a responsibility to others. In verse 12 particularly, he says, Timothy, I want you to be an example. In other words, you look at yourself. In verse 15, he said, I want you to meditate upon these things. You think about yourself and what you know and what you need to know. And in verse 16, he says, take heed unto thyself. You know, some of the things that have endured certain teachers to us, in addition to what they taught us and how they taught us, was how they lived. We sat in a class on Sunday morning and listened to a teacher teach us some things we ought to do, and we saw that teacher on Tuesday and we saw him doing what he had taught. We saw him being honest in the community. We saw him working hard to make a living. He said, Timothy, you be an example. Responsibility involves looking at oneself. But then it involves looking out to others. That third point there in verse 13 is exhortation. You need to give attention to reading for yourself and to know the doctrine of the Bible for yourself. But he says, give attention to exhortation, encouraging others, helping others. It's one of the things we do in the Bible class, but it's greater than that. It's outside the Bible class also. And those who teach are able to encourage those who hear them. And notice also in verse 16 where he says, first, take heed unto yourself. He says in the latter part of that verse that you shall both save thyself and them that hear thee. I was in a meeting recently in Murfreesboro. The preacher that's preaching there at East Main is a young man that I was able to get the first job for him driving a potato chip truck back years ago. And then 2 or 3 months after that, I needed a substitute to fill in at a little congregation in the area, and I called him and I said, I want you to go preach. He said, I can't preach. I said, you can too. He said, I don't have a sermon outline. I said, I'll make you one. He went and spoke. And he is a very, very effective preacher today in the work of the church. Things like that are extremely encouraging to us. And when we're able to look back and see that we encouraged somebody, those that heard us, that we encouraged them to live the Christian life, maybe some of them to become preachers and elders and deacons and wives of church leaders and Bible school teachers, we have a great responsibility to ourselves, but we have a responsibility to others. And I would challenge each one of you who's here this morning, who has the ability to teach, and who does teach under some circumstances, to step back and look at yourself and realize that you have a responsibility. I really think we ought to look at it as an opportunity, but it is a responsibility to be involved in the Lord's work. And the bottom line of what's in this passage is that this responsibility involves teaching. It just involves teaching. That's the way we grow. That's the way the church grows. Verse 11, teach. Verse 16, they're going to hear you. You've got to be doing some teaching. Ephesians 1:18 says, enlighten. 3:3 says, reveal the word of God. 3:5 says, make it known. 3:9 says, to help men see. What's all this mean? It means we're teaching. We're imparting the Word of God. And in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, when he's talking about the gospel, he said, the gospel I preached unto you, but the next thing is that you received, and wherein you stand, and by which you are saved. There has to be the teaching of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he said, when you received this that I was teaching it, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in fact the word of God. That's getting the word of God from one source to the other. That's what's involved in teaching. And I continue to emphasize this morning the importance of our teaching program in the work of the church. It involves more than just our Bible classes here at the building. And I would hope that every one of us would set a goal of trying to teach one person, trying to talk to somebody about his soul, trying to teach somebody the plan of salvation. But also we need to emphasize our classes that we have here at the building. Getting all of us, all of our children in it, in them, and being involved, and then getting more of us. I really think this is important. Getting more of us actively involved, willfully actively involved in our teaching program. Ability demands responsibility. Ability involves preparation. Responsibility is twofold to oneself, but also to others. And that responsibility as a Christian necessarily involves teaching. And that's one way that we need to be involved in the work of the church. Did you ever stop to think what it would be like if you and I didn't have this Bible? If we didn't know what God wants us to do to become Christians, if we did not know what He wants us to do to live as Christians, suppose we came together this morning and we wondered, what would please God in worship? What does He want us to do? Maybe even more than that, ask the question, who is God anyway? Those are some of the things that would happen if we did not have this book, but we have this book. And we've got to somehow or other get the message of this book into us and then out of us as we teach it to others so that they can know the will of God. I believe those of us that are here this morning do know the will of God. Perhaps if you've not even been baptized into Christ to become a Christian, you know that you should. You know the need of faith. You know the need of repentance. You know that you should confess Christ. You know the Bible teaches that you're to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And I think all of us know that when we make mistakes, we're to turn to God for forgiveness, and if that involves public confession, that needs to be done. We need to teach the Word of God. We need to receive the Word of God. And we need to react to the Word of God. If you need to do that, come as together we stand and sing.
Upon your ear, sweet His cry of love and pity.